Stillman & Company, presented by TriStar Moving 615 Day. We are live at Ford Ice Center in Bellevue, presented by Social Furniture. The 3 p.m. hour of 615 Day, presented by Martin's Barbecue. Martin's Barbecue, join us now, hiring at their downtown location on 4th Avenue South. You can apply at martinsbarbecuejoint.com/jobs. Twitter at martinsbbq. Ryan Tannehill is live with the media after minicamp.
And a job as we move forward, but to have some familiar faces in front of me is a great feeling.
Steve Lehman.
Ryan, considering all the new faces that are in your receiver room right now, how important have these OTAs and specifically now this week where it's a little bit more full speed out there, how important can these couple of days be to help you all get on the same page as you move towards training camp?
Yeah, just, you know, as guys become more involved in what we're doing and guys get healthier, new additions, you know, that'll be the real test for us as we head into training camp, you know, being able to come back full speed and get on the same page quickly with all the different things that we like to do in this offense is going to be, you know, crucial for us. So, you know, I don't know if these last couple of days are any more full speed. It's pretty much the same schedule as we've been having, but we got to take advantage of the time that we do have, no doubt about it.
A real quick follow on that, the rookies, McMath and Fitzpatrick, have you been around them enough to get a feel for what kind of receivers they are and how do they look to you?
Those guys are working. You know, they're doing what we asked them to do, going out there and working every day, you know, seeing them doing some good things, but it's a long road ahead of them and they just have to keep their heads down and keep working.
Circling back to Paul.
Sorry for the internet difficulties. You guys have a ton of big receivers, Ryan, with Julio coming in now. Your top three guys, big. A lot of the depth is big. Do you have a propensity for big wide receivers, and what are the advantages beyond the obvious of having so much length?
Well, obviously, there's a lot of benefits to having a big target. You know, you get range, you know, bigger catching radius. They can use their bodies to create separation. If it's tight coverage, you have more – space to throw it away from a defender and they'll still be able to make a play on it. So, you know, John and Coach Vrabel have done a great job of getting guys that kind of fit the way we like to play. Obviously, tough, physical. We're going to ask our receivers to block and being big helps all of that. So, you know, excited for the room that we have and it'll be fun to see those guys work, you know, as we get through through training camp and how that room ends up will be exciting.
Thanks.
Ron.
Yeah, Ryan, the other day in practice, saw you just kind of talk to Julio Jones after one of the reps. I wanted to ask you just how that conversation, that communication is going, just as far as you and him getting on the same page, as you mentioned before.
Yeah, it's going to take hundreds of those little small communications, you know, throughout training camp, throughout now, up until, you know, even throughout the season. You know, it's just got constant communication, fine-tuning things, making sure that we're seeing things the same way. You know, I'm going to communicate with him how I see certain plays, certain routes against maybe a low hip coverage or a high hip coverage and where I expect the ball to be on all those different types of things. So it's going to be a learning process. There's going to be a lot we're going to have to cover from now until the first game, but it'll be a learning process for both of us and I'm looking forward to it.
And you like to, you know, do the layup and the finger roll as your TD celebration, so I make a basketball reference. You know, how much are you looking forward to kind of being a point guard for this Shaq and Kobe or Mike and Scotty kind of tandem that you have at receiver?
Basketball reference. I'm excited. You know, I know what we have in AJ and obviously, you know, what Julio brings to the table. I've seen, you know, big things out of him, you know, his whole career. So that's all exciting, but at the end of the day, we have to get on the same page here this year and make sure we're doing everything we can to go out and make plays on Sunday. So, you know, a ton of quote unquote potential, but at this point, you know, potential doesn't really get you a whole lot. You have to put the work in, put the time in and ultimately go out and make the plays on Sundays.
Thank you.
A couple more for Ryan. Teresa.
Ryan, to kind of follow up on that, this offense last year was so productive. You've got Derek back as well. Is that the key to making sure that this offense can build and take advantage of all these weapons that you have? And how much fun do you have looking at what you're going to be working with this year?
You're saying having Derek back, that's the
Well, having Derek, having AJ, adding Julio, all these pieces, you now have so many options. It seems like, does that make your job easier or harder?
Well, definitely makes our offense, where you can't just focus in on one person or one aspect of it. You know, I think that's the key to a good offense is being able to threaten the defense and put pressure on the defense in multiple areas and multiple facets. So, on paper, we have some guys that will be able to do that. At this point, it's just about us, like I said, just continue to work and get ready that way that we can make it a reality on Sundays.
Hey, Ryan, we asked you a lot about your new offensive teammates, but obviously there's some new faces on the defensive side of the ball. You've faced them, I'm sure, at certain points in your career. What have your observations been with, getting to know them, working against them, and interacting with them in meeting rooms and such?
Yeah, it's been fun meeting some of the new guys we got on defense. I get excited anytime I get to meet quality players that I've played against or watched play. And get to join and play with them. And it's something special that I don't take for granted. So, a guy like Bud Dupree, who I have a ton of respect for, just playing against him and the way he plays the game on a weekly basis with tenacity in the run and the pass game, rushing the passer, man, it's been fun to watch him. So, hopefully he can continue to do the same thing for us.
Last question, Glennon.
Yeah, Ryan, touching back on the size of the wide receivers. I know back in the day, you yourself were obviously a big wide receiver. I wonder if, in addition to some of the advantages, are there some challenges that come with being a bigger guy, a bigger wide receiver out there too?
I mean, it just depends on the guy. Physics wise, right? It's a little bit tougher to transition. When you're bigger, but some guys, I've seen some really big guys who have amazing transition and can transition just as fast as anybody. So it's really a person by person basis and whatever each guy's skill set is. But on the whole, we have to just take advantage of each person's individual skill set, try to bring out the best things that they do, and ultimately help us make plays.
Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate it.
There you go, Ryan Tannehill with his post-practice press conference. We'll have more press conferences to get to, and we'll do that. But Tannehill, equally as boring as Vrabel. I have been writing down, Caroline, what these guys say. One meaningful thing that I didn't hear. So we'll get to that as well. 615-737-1025, 615, day presented by Social Furniture. We are here at Ford Ice Center Bellevue. Again, they got the party out in the parking lot. I think that just wrapped up. But again, we are raising a bunch of money for the Boys and Girls Club at the silent auction. Text PREDS to 76278. Items include a Pekka Rinne and Philip Forsberg signed jersey, Predators team signed stick, signed Titans photo, signed Tim Corbin and Vandy baseball memorabilia, and a signed Mookie Betts baseball. So get excited about that. The 3 p.m. hour is presented by our friends at Martin's Barbecue. Martin's Barbecue is hiring at their downtown location on 4th Avenue South. You can apply at martinsbarbecuejoint.com/jobs. Stillman & Company, we're live from the wholesaling studio powered by rumbleon.com. Let me tell you about the FanDuel Sportsbook app and Dinger Tuesdays. I almost got excited because I saw that Vladimir Guerrero Jr. hit a home run yesterday, and I was talking about him for Dinger Tuesday, and then I remembered that yesterday was not a Tuesday. So today is Dinger Tuesday.
It's really just a mindset.
It is a mindset. You got to pick on Dinger Tuesday who you want to go with at the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Again, FanDuel Sportsbook, it's my official sportsbook app, and they want you to take in Dinger Tuesday. Today, again, take any player that you want, and they hit a home run, boom, it's Dinger Tuesday. I absolutely love Dinger Tuesday, and I love how they take great care of all of us with, again, all of your betting needs right there on the FanDuel Sportsbook app or anything baseball-related, all kinds of games. Again, for Dinger Tuesday, it's live every Tuesday, $5, place a $25 plus wager on any player to hit a home run and get a $5 bonus and site credit for every home run that player hits in the game. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with the promo code JGM to get in on all the action. That's FanDuel Sportsbook promo code JGM. And since Guerrero hit one, I don't want you to think again, I'm going to go with Tatis Jr. today. to hit the home run. Must be 21 and older and present. Tennessee First Online Real Money Wager only for risk-free bet. Refund and bonus issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max bonus $25 per game. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789. Are wrapping up their first of two mandatory mini camp practices. They'll have one tomorrow. We are live at 615 Day, presented by Social Furniture, located in West Nashville at the Ford Ice Center in Bellevue, where we are raising a bunch of money for the Boys and Girls Club of Middle Tennessee. Today, this hour of the program is presented by our friends at Martin's Barbecue. Martin's Barbecue Joint is now hiring at their downtown location on 4th Avenue South. You can apply at martinsbarbecuejoint.com/jobs. Bud Dupree is talking with the Nashville media after minicamp.
With you as a part of it?
Oh, definitely. No, everyone on the team, man. The whole defense, man, I feel like the unit is a good unit. You know, it just comes with work and dedication. And we put our hard hats on, man. We come in every day. Those guys obviously are already on the field, but I'm still putting my hard hat on in the rehab room, in the training room, to make sure that we're, you know, once I get back on the field, I'm not falling behind. So, man, that's just part of it. You know, we all want to be good players. You know, that's why we're in the NFL. And all it takes is people to understand and realize how good they can be, man. And you just got to push for the effort day in and day out. And you can make it to that standpoint.
A couple more for you, bud. Emily?
Yeah, bud, when we talk to, some of the returners on defense, the common theme is obviously last year not good enough, and they're feeling kind of that sense of urgency and the need to be better than last year. Do you feel that sense of urgency and that, you know, extra focus this offseason on defense?
Yeah, well, I can't even, I really can't even tell. Like, you know, just being around them, no. Being in meetings is different from being on the field. Being in meetings is different from being on the field as far as, you know, feeling the urgency, like you said, you know, feeling the real pressure that's built up from those guys who was here last year. You know, the chip on their shoulder is different from guys who are just getting here. You know, it's a whole different stature of work that they've been through over the years, the pain, you know, the hard work, the dedication, the time that they put into it, you know. So their chip on their shoulder is very different from the guys who are just getting here. The guys who are just getting here, man, we were trying to come in and get on the hopping, rolling train and make our presence known as much as we can by making the best impact that we can. And, you know, not going out and disrespecting none of the guys who've been here before us, but bringing those guys up, helping the guys as much as we can, and, you know, continue to be ourselves in this new atmosphere. And, you know, that's the key. I feel like we got to continue to be ourselves, who the player that we are, the players that got us here for the new guys, and continue to get better and better each day, man. And once we link with those guys and everybody has the same goal and the same vision, and then that's when the unit will mold together.
Two more for Bud, and then we have Roger ready. Paul?
Bud, we just met Ryan Krill really for the first time in terms of talking to hearing from him the other day. Yeah. Wonder your impressions of a young first time position coach and what that dynamic will be like with you and with the group.
Man, it's great. You know, it's his first time coaching, so you know he's going to come out when trying to have his first year with a bang. You know, he's very detail oriented with us. You know, he goes over the things that we overlook. You know, he's trying to make sure that we emphasize those things, the small things, the fundamental things of the game, the things that we learned in high school, bring it back up. You know, he's taking pride in actually being a coach, man, and wanting to get guys better. And that's all you can ask for, man, just continue to be real like he is. You know, even though he's his first time, man, he got a lot of great players in the room that can help him out. And I'm excited for him. I'm excited to play. I'm just as much excited to play for him than I know he is excited to coach us.
Last question, Jim Wyatt.
And Bud, this team has kind of changed since you first came aboard. I think you're maybe the first signing, and then Danico's come aboard, Janoris has come aboard. You got a new draft class that's heavy on defense, and then other side of the ball, you get Julio Jones last week, Josh Reynolds. What's it been like kind of seeing all these additions to now your new team and what's your overall thought about it?
Man, it's exciting. It's exciting. But, you know, now we just got to go out and put that work in, man. And and then show the world the finished product. Now it's the time to grind. Off season is the time to grind. Training camp is the time to grind. At the beginning of the season, it's time to grind. But at the end of the day, man, everyone wants to be at that last game of the season. And that's what the main goal is. But to be able to get to the last game of the season, everyone has to put in the effort, put in the work, put in the dedication. And it starts now, man. And like you said, it's a great group of guys that came in with an already great team. And we all look excited, but we got to go put the work in.
Thank you, bud. Appreciate it.
All right, so appreciate you.
That's Titans outside linebacker Bud Dupree. And as Ian said, he likes Bud Dupree. Roger Saffold is coming up next. We'll get to Roger Saffold when he is ready to go as Titan minicamp is rolling along. So the one thing, and Ian, you just let me know in my ear when Roger Saffold's up there. The one thing I mean, I listened to Vrabel, I listened to Handel. Dupree probably said more honestly than the other two did. At least he was, like, excited to talk. The Vrabel thing was he was asked a question by TD about having Shane Bowen, Jim Haslett, Jim Schwartz, and Mike Vrabel all together in one room.
Mm-hmm.
Vrabel was like, well, I'm the head coach, and it's the job of the head coach to decide what the team does, and didn't say anything like, well, Shane's the one in charge. Now here's Roger Saffold.
Largely, you guys kept the offensive line intact throughout the course of this offseason. What's it like to be able to continue to build upon the strength of this team right now with the offensive line, the running game, heading into this mandatory minicamp?
It feels good. Of course, you know, we don't want to use, you know, our chemistry and our success as a crutch. What we're trying to do is just continue to focus on the fundamentals, the little details, trying to make those better so that we can, you know, together be a great unit.
Cool.
Hey, Roger. Wondering what your sense of Taylor is right now. Obviously, missed the first 4 2 years ago. Season came crashing down with the ACL last year. We haven't had a chance to talk to him. I'm not asking you to speak for him, but I imagine he's pretty eager to get out there for all 17 and kind of not be a story in terms of not being out there?
of course. I think that he wouldn't be here if, you know, he wasn't eager to come back after all the adversities he had to go through these last couple of years. You guys know Taylor. You know Taylor's going to work hard. He's going to work his butt off to do the best that he can. He's doing everything that he can in rehab. We leave it there. We let him – you know, come at his own pace. And when he's ready to go, we're going to be right there with him. You know, just great to have him in the building, being able to talk to him, get that personality day after day. And, you know, he's just a pleasure to be around. So right now it's just all about, hey, you know, letting him do his thing and getting back to us as soon as he can.
Corey Curtis.
All right, Roger. Obviously, there was a lot of uncertainty this offseason with the salary cap changes and teams trying to get under that cap. I know you guys lost Dennis, but largely you're intact. And how important is that moving forward?
You know, it's great. I mean, you know, I have a family to take care of. I have things that I need to do. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm all about this team. And, you know, I have to be able to trust the job that both Coach Vrabel and G-Rob do, J-Rob do. So I have to be able to trust that. You know, the greatest part about this game is that, you know, even though a lot of these players leave teams, they never truly go away. So we always see them. We always end up getting in touch with them and getting back together. So, you know, the best thing to do is just to tell, you know, the guys that had to go that you love them and, you know, do you ever need anything just to call you? So Dennis is not truly out of the picture with all of us. But, you know, I'm really liking the way this team is moving forward. And like I said, you just got to trust these guys to do their job.
Tim Wyatt.
Roger, what when you kind of reflected back on 2020, what kind of went through your mind, you know, from a personal standpoint and from a team standpoint, and what's kind of mindset for you as you head into, what is this, year 12 now?
Mm-hmm. My mindset last year was just, you know, trying to start fast. You know, I just really wanted to be able to help this team be able to win games right away. Of course, with the COVID adversity that really threw a wrench into everything that we were doing,
But, you know, we had to continue to push forward. I had some tough things going on in my personal life, which was another reason why I was already in that move forward mentality. And I was happy that I was able to come in every day with a positive attitude and working and trying to be a leader in the midst of some of the things that I was dealing with. This year, it's more about continuing to just, you know, show that leadership role, but also just to improve the way that my coaches want to teach me this game. And, you know, I'm doing so much better learning the terminology. I'm doing so much better spitting back the answers that they want to hear with their terminology. And I'm happy to be able to constantly fine tune my craft to the way that they teach me. So I feel like I'm coming along in a lot of different areas, and I just want to be able to improve this year and help this team get our goal of winning a championship.
John Glennon.
I wonder if you could talk about some of the you've seen. What have your impressions been of Dylan? And you know, have you talked to him? I guess he's getting some reps both in and out. Have you talked to him about guard at all? And then the other one, Adam Kuhn, you know, the wrestler. I wonder if you've ever gone through any kind of a situation like that with a guy who hasn't even played college football. And what's that like, trying to, you know, help teach a guy like that?
Just with, you know, with Dylan, Dylan's working hard. He's not saying much of anything. He's just putting his head down and going to work. You know, everything's yes or no, sir, with him, which I really do like. It's not enough to tell exactly what he can do right now, especially in practice when mostly what we do is the individual drills with some jog through. But that's why it's great that this camp will be able to have some preseason games. We'll be able to see him go against some other people throughout the year. We're showing that he's versatile, being able to play a few different positions early on, which is really good. But, you know, of course, we're excited about him, but he has to constantly prove himself, which, you know, if he continues working the way that he is, he should be able to. As far as the wrestler's concerned, what's his name? I don't know everybody's name just yet. But, you know, the fact that he's out here shows that, you know, he wants to be here. I see him working on drills off to the side, just constantly trying to learn. He seems that he has a good attitude, very critical of himself, which are good qualities to have as an offensive lineman. Humility is one of the biggest things you need to have when you enter into the NFL. And luckily, we have a lot of kids that are doing that.
Teresa.
Roger, you've shared some videos of your off-season workouts with weights. As an NFL player and a teammate of Derek's, when you see some of the videos and some of the things that he's doing in the off-season to get ready, what are your thoughts? I mean, the one with the chain on his neck and feet on the ball, what are your thoughts when you see these things that he's pushing himself?
I think that it's a competition almost. I'm like, oh, okay, so that's what you're doing. Okay, well, I'm going to put two chains on. Or, you know, it's like, hey, I see him squatting 450 pounds, you know, doing box squats. So now I got to do a 650 box squat. You know, it's like those types of situations. We used to always joke about who had the bigger biceps. And luckily, I've won every time. but, you know, the thing about it is that, you know, that Derek is always going to work hard. You know, you in turn want to work hard. I think that the team mentality is just that blue collar, just want to work, hit you in the face type of team. So I'm starting to see that with everybody. And the fact that this year I was able to bring Nate along with me out there in California where we trained together and seeing his growth, you know, it just makes me excited about the future. Of course, you know, I can't tell the future, but, you know, the work that you put in is usually what you're going to get out when it comes to the season.
Steve Lehman.
Roger, I'm just curious, when the Julio Jones signing was made public, if you and the other offensive linemen, you know, did like a touchdown celebration or something, because you're probably going to see fewer nine-man boxes moving forward this year.
You know, that's funny. I absolutely talked about that. I was like, yes. But, you know, honestly, I really thought that J-Rob got that for my birthday, because, you know, my birthday was on June 6th. We got him on June 6th. So I really thought it was for me. So, you know, I really appreciate it, man. Thank you to everybody. For your birthday wishes, along with Julio Jones. So I appreciate that.
Buck?
Yeah, Rob. Is this going to
to Nate Davis. I mean, how big a difference have you seen in him from the player that got here as a third round pick out of Charlotte, and the maturation process, the technique that he's been able to develop? It seems like 9 days.
Yeah, they say that the biggest jump that you make in your career is from year one to year two. You take away OTAs from a man, it's going to be a little bit tougher to watch how much he can improve. I think that he's been learning more and more, especially, talking to me, talking to Ben Jones. You know, we've been able to help him with, seeing things and having experience. And he did a great job from year one to year two. You know, from now on, it's like, all right, how can I get better? You have to like almost research yourself. And I think that he was looking at himself. He's been listening to Keith. He's been listening to me. And now it's time for him to make his own decision on what he can do to make Nate Davis better. And when we see him play this year, I know he's going to do well. Like, I mean, you know that he's going to do well because he's got us. We all got each other's back. We're all been together for so long, and we're always going to keep fine tuning each other. And keeping each other accountable to play this game well.
Last two for Roger, Jim Wyatt.
And Roger, another receiver team got this offseason, Josh Reynolds. You know him from your days with the Rams. What's it like being kind of reunited with him, a guy like him, and what does he bring the team?
Oh, I love it. I love it. The thing that's great about our wide receiver core is having a few guys that are, 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", that are very lengthy, very athletic. Having Josh on the team is great just to see another familiar face. Also being able to have conversations about guys that we know back home. And then just his ability, his athleticism, and like I said, just his length is going to be true values for the team. I mean, having three guys out there, three big wide receivers out there, just chances go up. 50-50 balls end up going to us, which you love to see. And once again, it helps just open up that running game, which, is our first love as an offensive lineman.
Last question, John Glennon.
Roger, I'm curious how much, vaccination talk there is among the team, the guys in general. And then maybe, I don't know what your choice was, but maybe if you could just maybe talk about your thought process on the vaccination situation and what kind of went through your mind as you wanted to make up your mind one way or the other.
I can't speak on the entire NFL, but I know for this team, we've been trying to be as informative as possible. Nobody has been forced. Everybody has been given the option. It's all about safety for yourself, safety for your family. And they've given us choices on which vaccination we can choose. That's all that you can look for out of your club. For me personally, I'm kind of on the fence, constantly doing research. And, sometimes there's so much information out there, it's hard to choose. But for me, I'm kind of leaning towards doing the vaccination just so I could be a lot freer with my teammates, be able to visit family, and not have to deal with some of those restrictions that come along with not being vaccinated.
One last quick follow, Jim.
And Roger, kind of on a lighter note, you kind of regard as a pretty sharp dressed guy. What did you think about Taylor's suit that he showed up for at the CMA award?
Hey, man, you guys remember that first game suit I came out in, man. But no, he was sharp, man. He was sharp. And I'm always going to support my teammates because, I feel like I got some of the best teammates in the world, man. So excited for him. And I'm excited to see what these guys can put together because I know some people struggled on their first year. I won't name no names, Nate Davis, but that's okay. All right, we're going to keep working on that. We're going to keep getting better.
Thanks, Raj. Appreciate it.
It was Roger Saffold at Titans minicamp. So we heard from Vrabel, Tannehill, Bud Dupree, Saffold, 615-737-1025. What we heard from them we'll discuss next. And Joe Rexroad will join us at 3:45. So in 10 minutes, Joe will join us because Joe was at minicamp, so he'll tell us what he saw on the field. 615-737-1025. It's NASCAR weekend in Nashville. Be sure to get your tickets for Saturday and Sunday as tickets are going fast. kids 12 and under get in free Friday and Saturday, plus experience the post-race fireworks Friday night. RV camping for NASCAR weekend still available. For more info, go to NashvilleSuperspeedway.com. Be sure to tune in to the Alley 400 NASCAR Cup Series race, broadcasted this Sunday on 102.5 The Game. Coverage at 1:30, and the race begins at 2:30. Stillman & Company, live from 615 Day, presented by Social Furniture at the Ford Ice Center in Bellevue with our friends at the Nashville Predators. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app. Stillman & Company, Joe Rexrow to join us in 5 minutes. So we got to run quickly on this one. We are live here at 615 Day, presented by Social Furniture. We are located at the Ford Ice Center, Bellevue. You can register to win a Social Furniture recliner while we're here. And again, raising money for the Boys and Girls Clubs of Middle Tennessee. What did you take away, Caroline Fenton, from today's press conferences after minicamp? Vrabel, Tannehill, Dupree, and Saffold.
Well, I think we kind of got what we expected from Vrabel and Tannehill, and that was a whole bunch of nothing, a whole bunch of just coach speak and didn't really move the needle much. Roger Saffold commented on Dylan Raiden, said, you know, he's working, he's learning, he's got a great attitude. It's yes or no, sir. You know, he's working really hard. Same kind of things people are saying about Elijah Moore and calling him a generational talent for the New York Jets. They're rookies. They show up and they work hard. That's, you know, that's what they should do. That's what we're expected to do. So, you know, Bud Dupree sounds like he's in a great position with the defense. You know, just kind of what I expected to get from a minicamp press conference.
So, to me, Vrabel's in fine form, but again, wouldn't really, you know, prop Bowen up, and we can get to this, you know, more so later, but he didn't prop Shane Bowen up when asked about having Bowen, Jim Haslett, Jim Schwartz, and himself, four former defensive coordinators, three former head coaches, or I guess Vrabel's a current head coach, three head coaches in the same room. I was a little surprised. That's it. Other than that, Vrabel didn't reveal anything. Tannehill didn't really tell you much. I mean, I guess the most noteworthy, Saffold said he's on the fence about the vaccine, and I'm not sure. Again, I'm not going to break down each guy's individual choice or whatever you want to call it. When he says he's doing a lot of research, I wonder what that means. I mean, I would say this. You got a team doctor. Mm-hmm. He's probably telling you to take it. Mm-hmm. You have the chief medical officer of the NFLPA. He's telling you to take it.
Right.
The chief medical officer of the NFL is also a doctor, lives in Nashville. I'm sure he's telling you to take it. And I'm sure if you call the team doctor from the Rams when you played on them, my guess is, I could be wrong,
they'd probably say take it.
He's probably saying take it. So that's what we got from that. Joe Rexrode was on the practice field. What did he see at minicamp today? That's next. Stillman & Company right here, ESPN 102.5 The Game. This hour of 615 Day is presented by Martin's Barbecue. Martin's Barbecue Joint is now hiring at their downtown location on 4th Avenue South. You can apply at martinsbarbecuejoint.com, martinsbbqjoint.com/jobs. Twitter at martinsbbq. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're live from the Ford Ice Center in Bellevue. 615 Day is presented by Social Furniture. We're raising money for the Boys and Girls Clubs of Middle Tennessee. Silent auction. Text PREDS to 76278. Did you get that?
26278.
Nope.
Nope.
76.
Oh, 76278.
278.
There we go.
Joe Rexrode was at Titans minicamp today. As we said today, the really only thing that matters about minicamp deep down inside is if something bad happens. Mm-hmm. So Joe Rexrode joins us now on the program. Joe, let's start with this. Did anything bad happen today at Titans minicamp?
No, nothing bad happened. There were a couple absences I didn't necessarily expect. I wasn't sure, will A.J. Brown be out there? I mean, he was out watching the OTAs last week, but he was not out there. And Christian Fulton, the guy who was out there last week, not today. So there's the one sort of, I guess, you know, guy, you know, that you certainly would not have penciled in as being out. But other than that, pretty much, nothing too unexpected on that front. And no, now, I will say there was a moment, the quarterbacks were just kind of throwing, it was kind of an in-between period. You know, I think they're doing special team stuff and, they were throwing, Julio Jones was kind of standing in the corner and they were throwing passes to him, the different quarterbacks were, and he reached up to get one and landed hard on his butt. And I swear that all the reporters there like stopped in dead silence for a minute, thinking maybe something bad did happen, but he seems fine.
Okay, so when you say that Christian Fulton was out, do you mean that just he wasn't out on the field, but we assume that he was there, or is Christian Fulton missing mandatory minicamp?
Well, he wasn't out on the field, and again, he was at OTAs, so that tells me that he's probably got something that's bothering him injury-wise. I mean, okay. it doesn't make sense for a dude to go to OTAs and all of a sudden he doesn't go to mandatory, right? I mean, Christian Fulton is going to be out there, I think, if he's physically capable. So, yes, I expect that he has some kind of injury. There are a few guys, you know, working in the room. The only one that I caught for sure as I walked past was Caleb Farley, working hard, with the strength coach as practice went on. But I didn't see who else was in there. I would be willing to bet Christian Fulton was one of them.
Who looked good today and why, Joe?
Am I allowed to say Julio Jones, or can I should probably like mix it up, right?
What did I tell you, Caroline, was going to come out of this today was, oh, Julio and Tannehill, they caught a bunch of passes today. Go ahead, Joe.
Now, who stood out? Well, I will say, so, you know, right tackle is an interesting situation, and it's very, very limited. Of course, there's no run game right now. But, you know, when it's team against team, you can see certain guys just trying to move their feet against guys. And I actually did – I watched Dylan Raiduns closely when he got out there. And, you know, he's kind of alternating with Kendall Lamb. And I think he had – Landry. He was dealing with Landry a few times. And I thought he looked pretty good moving his feet. What does that mean? With no full pads, without actual football being played. I mean, it doesn't mean a ton. But he looks pretty agile, and that he's got a good sort of, you know, pass protection set to him. The guy was drafted in the second round. He's been a left tackle his entire college career. So this is nothing terribly surprising. But I did watch him whenever I had a chance. Another guy who he couldn't help but notice is Janoris Jenkins. He's definitely going to be like the new Malcolm Butler, you know, in terms of, like aggressive and vocal and all these things in practice, which, hey, I mean, it brings energy to the practice. I mean, I think the Titans are going to miss that with Malcolm Butler. I think Janoris Jenkins steps in nicely to kind of fill that void. I mean, you know, they're doing these, again, it's kind of like 7-on-7 stuff and different kind of team drills and passing drills, and there's no hitting. But I would say he put a pretty good hit on one of the guys down the roster at running back, Sargent. And I was like, geez, like that's quite some contact for a drill like that. But in general, very aggressive, and he's out there getting after it and being physical and working hard. So, I mean, you notice him for sure. I'm trying to think, you know, Derrick Henry. I mean, again, I hate to be obvious. Derrick Henry working hard on catching the ball and doing some stuff to the side with Tony Dews, the running back coach. And working on routes, working on change of direction, working on catching the ball. I mean, he's trying to keep expanding that game, man.
Who looked bad?
Who looked bad? Well, I will say that, well, first of all, I would say on the backup quarterback front, I would say Logan Woodside, to me, looked better than DeShone Kizer. What's that?
I said, darn, I'm rooting for Kizer. We're on the same celebrity softball team, and I like Kizer, so I'm rooting for him.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, Kizer last week and here, I mean, he's got to look off. He's got to go down the route progression better than he is. I would say that. Who looked bad? I don't know that anybody totally stood out as looking bad. I mean, it's, you know, I can't think of anyone just totally getting toasted. You know, Julio Jones didn't do a ton in the team stuff. He was out there a fair amount. I don't know. I would say, you know, the gap, if you want to talk about gaps at positions and depth, you know, again, whether it's Woodside, whether it's Kizer, boy, is there a gap between the starter and those guys. I mean, that's just how it's going to be.
Joe Rexroad with us. He was at Titans minicamp, one of two practices for the mandatory minicamp. Joe, the corner position, you brought up Jenkins. You said Fulton's out. We know Farley's out. Who else kind of made an impression at that position for you today?
Yeah, and so you had, and they rotate a lot of different guys in there. You know, Chris Jackson's in there, Breann Borders is in there, Greg Maben's out there. But certainly, you notice Elijah Molden. Just his, you know, his speed, his quickness, his change of direction. He looks like a player, you know, and we'll see. Like, I can't think of anything he did, especially when I was paying attention to him, especially good or bad. But even just watching him in the individuals and stuff, and of course, I think he can't. I think his first time out was the last OTA last week. He looks, you know, he looks as advertised. I think he's going to be a key guy. But yeah, a lot of those guys rotating in there. I would say, you know, again, Chris Jackson, kind of a guy you forget about. He's the other rookie from last year. He was forced into a ton of action last year. You know, I feel like he looks like a guy who very much knows what's going on. He's a guy who cannot afford to not know every last detail you can know about this defense. And I feel like he is that guy. I mean, like, I feel like he's maximizing what he can do. That still makes him a depth guy on this defense. But, you know, I will say that he's someone I haven't thought about much, you know, but it's probably a guy who's going to make the team as a depth piece. And, you know, even Borders, I mean, those guys are, you can do worse where they're supposed to be on the depth chart. The question for me is the guys who are supposed to be ahead of them, what the heck are you going to get? What the heck are you going to get from Caleb Farley? You know, and I mean, I think Fulton is going to be one of the key guys on this team this year. And it is too bad that he's not out for this because he could probably use every rep he can get.
Joe Retro with us. Three receivers, your thoughts on them. Dez Fitzpatrick, I take that back, two. Dez Fitzpatrick, Josh Reynolds, what'd you see today?
Nothing that to me was, you know, especially, I mean, you got to remember, like, some of these things are even, you know, it's not, like, not even a pass comes out after it. You know, they're looking at everything, and they're not, so not a ton. I'm hoping we get to see a little bit more of, like, DBs against receivers. That just wasn't a huge part of it today. But in general, I mean, I thought Reynolds, another guy who came on late last week and was out there. He looks, he's good size, you know, moves well. You know, Fitzpatrick, again, it's amazing how huge they are at receiver now. It's so different. And the guy who really, the guy that I can't stop watching, who I'm really interested to see what happens with him, is Racy McMath. You know, just because he's so big. He's almost like a hybrid receiver tight end. Maybe it's because he's wearing 81, and I keep thinking of Johnny Smith, but he is so big, and he also, he can run, and I think he looks pretty good, doing the various duties a receiver does. He's an interesting guy, you know, at that place, at LSU, in that program. I mean, who the heck is he playing over when he's playing in that program, you know, before this year? So he's really an interesting one to watch. He's going to have to be great on special teams. But, you know, at receiver, of course, you know, as I said, A.J. Brown. And also Nick Westbrook Akina is also not out there. I think he was one of those guys, you know, working out. So a guy who also could certainly use reps and will be in that mix.
Interesting. Joe Rexroad from Titan Minicamp. Joe, appreciate you and appreciate the things that you couldn't tell us and you didn't tell us.
Yeah, did I toe the line there? I mean, I think I was fairly, you know, I stayed within the rules.
Well, I don't want to get you in trouble, but I do think there was one thing that maybe you kind of let out of the bag, but I'm going to let them figure that out, not you or me. So there you go.
Okay, text me so I know.
I will. Appreciate you, Joe.
All right, see ya.
Yep. So Joe Rex Rhodes takeaways, who looks good, and he said he wanted to say Julio Jones or Derrick Henry. Then he brought up Dylan Raidens. But he brought up Dylan Raidens.
Yeah.
So I can be okay with that one. Who looked bad? He didn't really say anybody, honestly.
Woodside better than Kaiser.
I mean, yeah, the backup quarterbacks on this team.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry was working hard catching the football. That is at least worth discussing,
yes.
Because I don't think they want Derrick Henry to catch the ball, but I think they need Derrick Henry to catch the ball at some point. Brought up the corner position. Chris Jackson and Breann Borders right now. Again, they're out there, you would assume, because Farley and Fulton are not. He brought up Elijah Molden, so he liked Elijah Molden. He liked Janoris Jenkins. The other guy, I mean, like, Floyd thought that Chris Jackson was a safety. So, like, when Chris Jackson was playing corner last year, he's like, yeah, he's a safety. And I'm like, but he's starting at corner. And he goes, yeah, he's a safety. So, I mean, I think Chris Jackson, and this is just my personal opinion, I think there's a spot for Chris Jackson on this team, kind of in that Amani Hooker role, with Amani Hooker moving to starting safety. I think Jackson maybe fills that role of the hybrid safety corner kind of guy who's in your dime package. But he right now is having to play outside because you don't know who else you got. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We are live again from Ford Ice Center Bellevue. Today is 615 Day presented by Social Furniture. We're raising money for the Boys and Girls Clubs of Middle Tennessee. Donate to the Boys and Girls Clubs of Middle Tennessee. Text FUTURE to 707070. Did you get that?
7070, and I believe one more 70.
There you go, 707070. Text FUTURE for your opportunity there. And then we've got a silent auction. Text PREDS to 76278. Items include a Pecorine and Philip Forsberg signed jersey, Predators team signed stick, signed Titans photo, signed Tim Corbin Vandy baseball memorabilia, and a signed Mookie Betts baseball. 615-737-1025. I've got a PREDS thought. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, we are delivered by TriStar Moving, live out at Ford Ice Center Bellevue. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.